Welcome to Verbal Processing, the show that's all about encouraging young moms and homeschool moms in particular. Today, I want to share with you 10 of my favorite quotes from the first half of Walking on Water by Madeline L'Engle. Let's get to it. On page 16, we see, I learn that my feelings about art and my feelings about the creator of the universe are inseparable. To try to talk about art and Christianity is, for me, one and the same thing. It means attempting to share the meaning of my life. What gives it, for me, its tragedy and its glory. Now, obviously, there are a lot of different reasons that this quote is meaningful to me. I think at this season in my life, one of the things that both motivates me and frustrates me is the prevalence of really bad art, really bad Christian art. And what I mean is by bad is poor quality. I am frustrated by the sheer amount of art that people slap the label Christian on and that other Christians will consume, not stopping to think, is this really, you know, good, true, and beautiful, to echo the philosophers? But I would supposit, and I'm not the first to say this, there are many people smarter than I am, but I think we should start with making beautiful art and letting our faith inform our art, and then, if we are people of faith, adding the label of Christian. But don't just make subpar things and then slap the label Christian on them because you know that a large percentage of Western American culture will then purchase from you. So, I know. That's my little caveat, my little soapbox for the day. On page 18, Madeline continues. Yes, I've read her books so deeply and for so long that, yes, in my mind, I refer to her just as Madeline. But anyway, Mrs. L'Engle, if you will, she reminds us that I believe each work of art, whether it is a work of great genius or something very small, comes to the artist. And I like the idea of it coming to the artist, right? I think that's so beautiful. Not that we have some genius within ourselves, but that the great art shows up. Like, it's already part of the cosmos, but it shows up to us. I'm sorry, I interrupted Miss L'Engle. How dare I? Here we go. So here's the quote in full. It's on page 18 of Walking on Water. I believe that each work of art, whether it is a work of great genius or something very small, comes to the artist and says, here I am, enflesh me, give birth to me. And the artist either says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and willingly becomes the bearer of the work, or refuses. But the obedient response is not necessarily a conscious one. Not everyone has the humble, courageous obedience of Mary. What a beautiful thought. As moms, this can be particularly meaningful to us as we are considering the ways in which we lavish our attention and our praise and our love on our children, and as we maybe create things that aren't going to stand the test of time necessarily. I'm thinking of creating a masterpiece on the chalkboard for them to enjoy as they get up and kind of look at their list for the day, or something similar, maybe making them a toy or a book or something that, while maybe not as vast or permanent as a legacy, is part of building your family culture and is part of using the things that God has placed in you, and just kind of showing up and making the next thing, if you will. Okay, on page 19, Mrs. L'Engle says, in one of his dialogues, Plato talks of all learning as remembering. The chief job of the teacher is to help us remember all that we've forgotten. This fits in well with Jung's concept of racial memory, his belief that we are enabled to dip into the intuitive subconscious self. We remember more than we know. I found that a particularly interesting thought, especially as a homeschool mom, to kind of reframe my job and my role as teacher into one to helping my child remember. And you know, I think it's very easy for me to get frustrated at the rote memorization and the memory work and the flashcards and... Okay. technical difficulties. Let's try again. On page 24. When the artist is truly the servant of the work is better than the artist. Shakespeare knew how to listen to his work, and so he often wrote better than he could write. Bach composed more deeply, more truly than he knew. Rembrandt's brush put more of the human spirit on canvas than Rembrandt could comprehend. I love this so much. You know, God creates ex nihilo out of nothing. When we partner with him to create something, and we become the servant of the work, as Madeline describes, we are going to be able to make things that are far more beautiful than we could even realize right now. C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald kind of talked about, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien talked about George MacDonald as being like, I think they called it a myth. Mythonian or something like that. The idea was that his tales, MacDonald's tales, transcended time and kind of like spoke to each generation in their own way because they were timeless. Okay, well, if we're going to be the servant of the work that shows up to us, our art, our work is going to live on in that timeless way because we're going to be creating things more magnificent than what we could do on our own. Because we're letting the Spirit of God influence us and develop our skills and our talents and our abilities. And it's going to weave that tapestry. And it's going to like carry our artwork forward. Isn't that so exciting? Not so that we can be glorified, certainly perish the thought, but so that God gets the glory. God in all his infinite wisdom and beauty is he is going to get the glory when we live out the things that he created us to do and to make and to be. So I found that page 24 of Walking on Water super inspiring. Okay, moving on, page 32. I thought this was interesting. On this quote, I think it might set some people's hair on fire, but Madeline L'Engle is talking about what being a true Christian means to her. And in her words, on page 32, quote, "To be truly Christian means to see Christ everywhere, to know him as all in all." That thought kind of reminded me of Brother Lawrence's example and, you know, washing the dishes and the potatoes and you know, practicing the presence of God, to see Christ everywhere. Isn't that exactly what eternal life is to know him now and to know that knowing of him is just going to continue on into eternity? I found that especially encouraging as a mom. I think a lot of our, and the reason I keep tying it back to mom is to being a mom is I think this is my role is to encourage young moms because so much of our work is repetitive. So much of our work is drudgery. So much of our work is daily. And not a lot of the things stay, right? The dishes, we have to wash them again tomorrow. The laundry, we have to do it again tomorrow. The homeschooling, yes, the diapering, all the things, the lessons change from day to day and maybe our circumstances change, but a lot of being a mom, a young mom, especially in this season, is the dailiness and the grind, and there's so much beauty in it, but I also want to acknowledge that sometimes it is hard, and it's that sometimes it's hard. That's why my job is to come in and to encourage and uplift and hopefully point you to some things, some little just handholds that can help you get through your day. That is why I spend my time recording these messages. That is why I'm quoting books that I found to be good and true and beautiful, is because I really want you to just kind of get a hold of the truth that this is a season. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's repetitive, but there's so much beauty to be found even here. So that is why I'm pointing you to artists and authors like Russ Ramsey and Madeline L'Engle. It's because I have found them to be so inspiring and beautiful in my own personal life. So we're going to continue on here with reading Madeline L'Engle's Walking on Water and the quotes that have been most meaningful to me. Okay, homeschool mom, so how would you like some encouragement to keep up with those language arts and grammar lessons? Okay, let's see if this strikes you as it did me. Page 39 of Walking on Water, in the chapter entitled Icons of the True, Madeline Lingle writes, "We cannot name or be named without language. If our vocabulary dwindles to a few shop-worn words, we are setting ourselves up for takeover by a dictator. When language becomes exhausted, our freedom dwindles. We cannot think, we do not recognize danger. Injustice strikes us as no more than the way things are." This quote struck me as so profound, and it made me immediately make out a TBR list of classical Western literature to peruse this winter, and assign some vocab lessons to my children, and pull out the great works that have a more challenging vocabulary. Because she's so correct, we have got to explore our language and enrich ourselves with vocabulary and meaning and depth and understanding of words that we may not run across in our everyday culture anymore. It's our job to learn those words, to use those words, to teach our children these words, because the English language is so rich and so beautiful and has such this storied history, and we're losing it, and we are shooting ourselves in the foot by not taking the time to really explore matters of language and intellect and words and how they fit together, and to find more apt words instead of the words that we use all of the time. So I thought that was particularly encouraging of why we keep persisting in teaching our children language arts. On page 41, we're going to change subjects just a little bit. And this is still in Icons of the True, but I thought this was particularly beautiful for a different reason. She says, "We are human and humble and of the earth, and we cannot create until we acknowledge our createdness." And I thought that was a really beautiful starting point of any time we're trying to make something beautiful, whether it's a painting or a photograph or a birthday cake or a knitted doll, like half mermaid, half unicorn, as I just saw a pattern for the other day. We need to start with acknowledging that God created us. And I think in the last 10, 15 years, it's been drilled into our heads that we were created to create. I think as a culture, we all understand that and know that now. But I think we struggle with, what does that mean in the day-to-day? And if I'm creating subpar art right now, is that enough? Is it enough to keep up the daily practice of art until I become good? And what truly counts as art? And when can I start calling myself an artist? And we can kind of spin out. But if we just stop for a moment and consider that God created us, and we acknowledge our createdness, then we're going to start from a humble place and a simple place and a beautiful place and a place of worship. And then it kind of takes all of those angsty, performative feelings out of us, because we're starting from a very simple place of knowing and being known. Okay, moving on to page 51. I thought this was perfect to encourage moms today. And this is from the chapter Healed, Whole, and Holy. Again, we're still reading out of Walking on Water. She writes, "All children are artists," and I think Pablo Picasso also said something similar, but here we go. "All children are artists, and it is an indictment of our culture that so many of them lose their creativity, their unfettered imaginations as they grow older. But they start off without self-consciousness as they paint their purple flowers, their anatomically impossible people, their thunderous, sulfurous skies. They don't worry that they may not be as good as Daishikoro or Braque. They know intuitively that it is folly to make comparisons. They go ahead and say what they want to say." I thought that was particularly gorgeous, as both as an encouragement for us as mothers and also as a reminder, kind of not to stifle our children's creativity, but to just let them make and encourage them to do so. On page 61, I don't know why I went 41, 51, 61. And then a little behind the scenes baseball. This summer, right before my oldest graduated from high school, we had kind of a personal challenge for our family, something that we certainly had not expected or could not have predicted. And it continued throughout the summer. And I turned again and again to this quote found on page 61 of Walking on Water. And it is, "We are all asked to do more than we can do. Every hero and heroine of the Bible does more than he would have thought if possible to do, from Gideon to Esther to Mary." And then she goes on to talk about not being qualified. But I found so much comfort in that, that we are all asked to do more than we can possibly do. And it just reminds us that we are so reliant on God and His Spirit giving us the energy and the ability to do the work, right? To do the work through us and for us. And then the very next page, page 62, this is my 10th quote that I'm going to end on here today. It says, "In a very real sense, not one of us is qualified, but it seems that God continually chooses the most unqualified to do His work to bear His glory. If we are qualified, we tend to think that we have done the job ourselves. If we're forced to accept our evident lack of qualification, then there's no danger that we confuse God's work with our own or God's glory with our own." Now, I read that in April, and my big challenge came at the end of May. I had no idea, and I underlined it, and I wrote down the date in my book, April 25th, about how, you know, I didn't, and I kind of journaled about how I didn't feel qualified to do the things that were ahead of me. But looking back now, it's October, I had no idea what was coming a month later. God certainly calls unqualified and uses us. And I think it's just one more reminder of our deep dependence on Him, not just for our salvation, but for our day-to-day lives. And I thought that was especially fitting as moms when, you know, we hear over and over, oh, the days are long, but the years are short. Yes. But also, the days are long, and sometimes when we crawl into bed at night and all we're doing is replaying all the ways that we got it wrong, that we didn't live up to our own standards and our own ideals, how our children are probably going to have to go through therapy because we just got frustrated and threw all the alphabet magnets off the fridge and threw them away because we just could not stand one more mess. I think it's at that moment that we need to remember that no, we're not qualified. We're not even qualified to be wives and mothers. We're really not. Not in and of our own. Because the whole thing about being a wife and a mom is that it is daily, sometimes minutely, offering yourselves on the altar for others. Because that's what love is. It's the daily sacrifice. And no, we don't have it within ourselves as finite humans to be able to sacrifice again and again and again. But being a wife and being a mom was never about us being happy or fulfilled. It was all about God using that to make us holy and to point us in one more area of our lives, perhaps the area that means more to us than any other aspect, to point Him to our dependence upon Him. And to teach us in ways that wouldn't be possible if we weren't in these relationships. So, with that, I know your listening time is very valuable. You are doing the good and hard and beautiful work of parenting young people, of training them up to follow God, and I am so proud of you. I am cheering you on from this side of the microphone. I hope that you have a wonderful and excellent day. Thanks for listening. Bye.